Part 1. Chapter 4. Gateway. The key to successful risk-taking is to understand that the actions you're taking should be the natural next step. One of the mistakes we often make when confronting a risk situation is our tendency to focus on the end result. Skiers who are unsure of themselves often do this. They'll go to the edge of a difficult slope, look all the way down to the bottom, and determine that the slope is too steep for them to try. The ones that decide to make it change their focus by analyzing what they need to do to master the first step, like getting through the first mogul on the hill. Once they get there, they concentrate on the next mogul, and over the course of the run, they end up at the bottom of what others thought was an impossible mountain. Exercise 1. Plug-in hybrids have the potential to make a huge leap over current hybrids. They were first made available to the public in 2010 and were initially quite expensive. It is hoped, though, that models will be available within a few years that will be cost-competitive with regular cars. They get 100 miles per gallon or more, but the advantages go way beyond fuel efficiency. It is not an exaggeration to say that plug-in hybrids could help save us from oil dependence, air pollution, and a deteriorating atmosphere. By doing without 80-90% of the gasoline used by conventional cars, these vehicles could play a key role in our getting unhooked from fossil fuels. Exercise 2. Over the years, I have asked thousands of people to do a simple exercise of stating how they intend to influence others every day. I am always both amazed and inspired by the answers people give. A receptionist in a law firm, for example, told me that her intention was that every person who met her all day long got a shot of friendliness, so that they felt the world was a friendlier place because they encountered her. The list of intentions is inspiring. Some say they want to bring kindness, others goodness, compassion, energy, courage, or hope. Your position does not limit the way you can influence others. This woman was only a receptionist, but she could influence others in a profound way by holding that intention. Exercise 3. Has your creativity ground to a stop? Instead of letting frustration get the better of you, try to sit back and take a few deep breaths. Did you know that drawing a deep breath gives your creativity a boost by increasing the negative ions in oxygen? The negatively charged oxygen circulates throughout the brain, refreshing the neurons, and, because these negative ions promote alpha waves of longer amplitude in the brain, which are associated with creative thinking, suddenly your creativity receives a boost. So, next time your creative spirit feels burdened, spend 2 minutes taking deep breaths, breathing in and out every 5 seconds, and repeat the cycle at least 12 times. Exercise 4. If patience is not already part of your nature, you'll have to develop it quickly or you'll never survive the teaching profession. Your students will try your patience in ways you never considered. There will be times during your first year when you will want to scream at your students or show your anger and frustration in other physical ways. Obviously, you'll have to curb these impulses. You'll also need to develop a system for dealing with your frustrations. One method of reducing stress is to deal with students one at a time. Another is to stop whenever you feel overwhelmed, take a deep breath, and give yourself a minute to figure out how to best handle the situation. Decide what works best for you, and don't hesitate to use it. Your patience is critical for your effectiveness as a teacher. Exercise 5. Most of the world does not have access to the education afforded to a small minority. For every Albert Einstein, Yo-Yo Ma, or Barack Obama who has the opportunity for education, there are uncountable others who never get the chance. This vast waste of talent translates directly into reduced economic output. In a world where economic ruin is often tied to collapse, societies are well advised to exploit all the human capital they have. The Internet opens the gates of education to anyone who can get her hands on a computer. This is not always a trivial task, but the mere feasibility redefines the playing field. A motivated teen anywhere on the planet can walk through the world's knowledge from Wikipedia to the curricula of MIT's Open Courseware. Exercise 6. Since for the Egyptians the Nile was central for existence, it is natural to expect a variety of recreations in and on the water. The management of the great river's gifts was the basis of Egypt's security and its pleasures. Swimming was therefore not only a pleasure for the playful, but also a necessity in case of an accident on the water. We have wall paintings of young girls swimming below the surface to catch water birds by surprise. Several museums have small sculptures of silver or of wood in the form of girl swimmers who hold in their outstretched arms a container for ointments. Some documents suggest that swimming was required for royal princes. That swimming was regularly taught is also suggested by many depictions of the crawl stroke, a form of swimming that is not natural to man and which was invented again for competition less than a century ago. Exercise 7. Copyright is the primary vehicle for protecting a writer's literary creations. Unless writers have the legal ability to prevent others from copying their work, it would be very difficult to hinder others from using the fruits of the writer's labor without compensation. Fortunately, there are strong copyright laws that enable writers to prevent others from wrongfully appropriating their work. But, on the other hand, overly restrictive copyright laws may chill the writer's creative endeavors. Writers frequently use the works of others as the basis for research and literary development, sometimes to the extent of quoting portions of other works exactly. From this perspective, unless the copyright law provides some flexibility, many writers could be inhibited for fear they may infringe on another work and be exposed to legal risk. Exercise 8. No one could deny, once they've given it any thought at all, that women are responsible for the majority of consumer purchases. The proof is in the numbers. Women account for roughly 80% of all consumer buying. The Center for Women's Business Research indicates that working women and female businesswomen are the primary decision-makers in households, making 95% of the purchasing decisions. To be more specific and drive home that point, women are responsible for 70% of all travel decisions, 57% of all consumer electronics purchases, and they buy 50% of all new vehicles, influencing 80% of overall automobile sales. Finally, women write an estimated 8 out of 10 personal checks in the United States, making their financial power even greater. Women in most households today not only control the spending of their own paychecks, but a good deal of their husbands as well.